Hey, I'm Lance Frazier.
Name is Rosie Butter.
My name is Trey Mason.
You're listening to the Piffles Podcast.
I'm Cameron Marshall, and you're listening to the Piffles Podcast.
Stay tuned.
Johnny McQuaig Band, here we go. Piffles Podcast, episode 98 here for you. Piffles Podcast, your premier Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast. Thank you so much for your time. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
I'm Greg.
I'm Amy.
Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Check us out on Instagram, just search Piffles Pod. Follow us on Twitter, at Piffles Pod. You can follow me, at RealAlexD.
You'll find me, at Safamod.
Follow me, at Greg on Sports.
And I'm, at RealAmyD.
And check out PifflesPodcast.com for lots of great stuff going up all the time. And if you want to see how the Riders are going to purposely lose against BC, go to Piffles Podcast. Steve, you have a great article on that. I say purposely in quotation marks. They're not going to actually throw a game. But we'll talk about that in a little bit here. Piffles Podcast brought to you by Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Check out their great happy hour drink specials, half price Monday to Friday between 2 and 5 p.m. Don't miss out on their fall blizzard lineup. And of course, the great chicken strip baskets that are on right now.
I love me some chicken strips.
I could really go for some right now, actually. Coming up on this week's show, opening kickoff presented by Kathy Feshton of Royal LePage Regina Realty. Our Tallgrass Apparel engaging with the enemy. We have an interview we want to share with a BC Lion. One of their best receivers, probably actually right now, their best receiver, Brian Burnham. You're going to hear from him in a little bit. Our Cypress Hills Destination Area Piffles player profile, guy who made a big impact in that game against Calgary, Cameron Marshall. You're going to hear from him. And of course, our Week 20 game picks. But let's get right to it. Time for the opening kickoff. '29-'24, Riders go into Cowtown and I'll say it, they dominated the Calgary Stampeders. The score doesn't show it. The score absolutely flattered the Stamps because that game was not a 29-24 type game. Riders move into 11-6, keeping that first place dream alive. Still sitting in second place in the West. Still haven't clinched second place because BC ended up winning. But, Steve, you were at the game. How was it in the stands? Did it really look like the Rider domination that it looked like on TV?
Oh, 100%. You take away a couple of key plays for Calgary. There was a couple of pass interference calls and that punt return touchdown. You take those away and this game was never close. I mean, we were up, Zekeler said 230 passing yards at halftime. And the Calgary Stampeders had 91 total yards. And it continued. That was as dominating an offensive performance as we will ever see from that team. It was great.
That sounds like a Saskatchewan home field performance for Calgary anyway. I gotta admit, I missed the game at my cousin's wedding. Congratulations, Brendan and Courtney, by the way.
Married on a game day.
They're not football fans. They're hunters.
Let's see.
I know, but it's better than Labor Day.
Isn't it deer season or something?
A buddy of mine got married Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, at least then you know Saturday of Labor Day weekend, there's not a game, so get married on the Saturday, that's fine.
Yeah, but then they had a gift opening, expected people to be there. Guess where I was?
Well, that's
at the game.
Yeah, that's their own problem.
Buddy of mine had his bachelor party the day before Labor Day. That was a great idea.
That's a better idea. But yeah, through highlights, the Riders looked like they came to play, which after last week, good, because they didn't show up last week, so did they double show up this week?
That first opening, the opening drive of the game was already an improvement over the Calgary game, or over the Winnipeg game, because they got a field goal. And that game plan that Chris Jones put together, the keep away, that's what it was. It was keep away. Calgary can't score if they don't have the ball. And the Riders had multiple drives of like 6, 7, 8 minutes, which is insane in the CFL. Those are NFL type drives where you have a 40-second play clock with four downs and you can, the clock keeps running continuously if the ball's still in bounds. Absolutely insane in the CFL to see that happen, but I loved it. It was nothing flashy out of the offense, but it was consistent. They kept on getting first downs and it worked.
They converted a lot of second downs and a lot of second and longs. The one that stood out to me was after that challenged pass interference that was really, really questionably called. And I don't know, maybe it was looked better or on TV than it did live, but live, that just looked like friendly hand fighting.
The one on Jordan Williams-Lambert? Yeah. That wasn't PI. That was a bogus call.
Yeah, I saw the highlight of that one. There was like, even their suits, I believe, was like, what? I would let that one go every time. Like, it wasn't
sure,
close.
There was the tiniest of push-offs, but it wasn't enough to make the guy unable to be in the play.
There was a play earlier in that game. I think it was Breskin and was directly in front of where I was sitting, and he had a full arm push, and it wasn't called. Meanwhile, that kind of garbage gets overturned on a challenge. I mean, that's not the kind of stuff that the challenge system was meant for. That was brutal, and it could have had a huge effect on the game, but we turned that 2nd and 16, I believe it was, you know, and it let us burn a little extra time off the clock, so we did turn that into a touchdown.
Well, and then there was one at the end of the game, too, on Shaq Evans. He got called for offensive PI, which that one, yeah, okay, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that. That one was PI. Set up, again, a 2nd and 16, Jordan Williams-Lambert. Converted on a great catch over the middle and just kept that drive going.
How nice is it to have him back?
If we can get Roosevelt back with him, too, then...
Who do you sit, though, right now? Can we just give a shout-out for our man, Kraft Dinner Cannon? Hell of a game to start his career.
He asked who he sit. That's who you sit. It's
Katie Cannon, unfortunately.
He had a damn good start.
Who looked pretty good in his first career game. Had, 61 yards on 4 catches. Showed promise about Yak. Y-A-C. I won't call him Yak Yards. Cause,
yards after catch.
Yards after catch, yeah.
That's like pin number. good old personal identification number. But... No, yeah, Katie Cannon, from what I can tell, looked really good. Lavoie looked really good in his Ryder debut, so to speak. And we got a lot of depth right now going in the playoffs, which is not a bad thing.
That trade that we made with Montreal for Blake and Lavoie, that's going to be key for our success in the playoffs because he gives us a great weapon that I think they were really hoping for out of Jake Hardy when the season started. That big target that can get you those difficult yards.
Lavoie isn't going to put up 100 yards a game. He's not going to catch 40-yard touchdowns. He's going to get you those 6-7 yards on 2nd and 6, on 2nd and 7. He's going to get you just enough, but he's never going to drop the ball. He's got really good hands, and that's what they need, a good possession receiver, which is something that's actually honestly missing out of this offense right now. And you get that from a Canadian player and a guy who can take a fullback screen. So this is a guy who's playing basically tight end in the CFL, which is a fullback receiver hybrid position, and he's nothing flashy, but it's effective.
He's a workhorse, and we need it.
Definitely, and I got to eat some crow. Apparently, JSJ had his best game ever.
He had a very good game, and I want to bring up his little beef that was going on with Micah Johnson. And I don't know if you saw this much at the game.
Micah Big Baby Johnson?
Not. Yeah. So... Micah Johnson was going up one-on-one against St. John in the second quarter. Couldn't beat him. Brendan Labatt was right beside St. John on the line, and he ended up getting into it as well, blocking Micah Johnson as Johnson tried to go around. Micah Johnson got his hands up in Labatt's face, pushing up on his face, which should be illegal hands to the face, a penalty. And then he started just beaking hard at both of them, mostly with Brendan Labatt. Labatt being the, you know, the vet that he is and you know, tough SOB, giving it right back and just kind of not shoving back, but holding his own and standing up for his teammate. After that, Micah Johnson was shook. At the end of the half, when the teams were leaving the field, Micah Johnson by himself went after the entire Riders O-line and started yelling at them because he couldn't get past St. John. And at the end of the game, he went after the O-line again. And the teams had to be separated after the game as well. So this is a guy who's a fantastic talent. Micah Johnson's one of, if not one, the best defensive tackles in the CFL. But he couldn't beat St. John, who is greatly labeled as a bust. Completely threw him off his game, and I love it. It was a typical Calgary Stampeders reaction when they're not winning. We saw Alex Singleton do this in Saskatchewan back in August when the Riders beat Calgary. He was getting into it with the refs, and there was a whole bunch of other things going on with Alex Singleton, and it happened again. The Calgary Stampeders are a bunch of babies when they're not winning.
They're soft.
They talk about how Chris Jones can't lose with class. They can't lose with class. I get it. Losing sucks. Nobody wants to lose. You're not happy, and that's fine.
Was there something about a kick? I heard somebody went after a guy with a kick. I couldn't see it live.
I don't know who it was. There was a Calgary Stampeder that was on the ground. I think it was a D lineman. Ended up in the pile. You couldn't really see it, but I caught it on the replay. Kicked at a Ryder lineman. But it was in a pile. I get why that wasn't called. It wasn't seen. Hard to see with bodies around.
How do you call it random Calgary's legs?
St. John. Back to St. John. Played a very good game. The offensive line played a very good game. Sure, they gave up 3 sacks, which is more than they've given up in quite a while. But this is a tough Calgary D-line. So I thought, and after Darius Blaydeck went down last week to Winnipeg, and he's out for the year, oh no, our O-line. So now we're worried because we're starting St. John. If that's the O-line we get, I'm okay with it.
And I thought they had a much better job. I did a much better job of run blocking than we've seen in recent weeks. There was a lot of holes open for Cam Marshall especially, and I loved bringing him onto the roster in place of Thigpen. I don't know if there was an injury there, but my guess is it was based on blocking. You took out 2 guys in the middle, you get that big running back behind him to give you that little extra protection along with Lavoie. You know, they're clearly looking to protect Caleros, and it's the right call because look what it did. Look at that game plan start to finish.
And that's exactly what it was. There was no injury with Thigpen. Thigpen's fine. He was working with the ones in practice last week, but so was Cam Marshall. And it's kind of going to come down to that. Protect Caleros. With a ragtag offensive line right now, they have to do everything in their power, and that's why picking up Lavoie is such a great trade. Blake, great pickup now, because I don't know what we'd be doing. Schramm would be starting as well, too.
Or a third American. And
yeah.
And then there goes our ratio again. And it's, yeah, that Montreal trade could be the thing that saves our playoffs, which is, once again, thank you, Kavis Reed. You keep doing you, buddy. You stay there forever.
For Stanford and a third-round pick in 2020. Is it third or second?
Second round.
Yeah, still, conditional.
Still, that's a great, great move. Yeah. So, pretty happy with the win. Like I said, it'd be nice if the offense could actually finish drives again. Settling for, 5 field goals?
Cheap pizza, though.
So, Brett Lawther back in business after, not even getting a chance to kick last week.
Which screwed me on my CFL fantasy. Thanks, guys.
It was just a dominating performance, and the defense, while it wasn't spectacular, they were very solid. Didn't allow Bully by Mitchell to get anything going in the first half. They had two really nice drives, well, 3 really nice drives the Stamps did in the second half. One was an interception by Mike Edom in the end zone, which, looking back at it in hindsight, that probably changed the game and saved the game for the team. But they stepped up when they had to, and the defense played great.
And without Charleston Hughes.
The only thing we didn't see, I don't think we saw any sacks on Bo Levi.
No.
There wasn't a ton of pressure, but there was enough that they forced his hand. And the protection was great. Or the defense was great. Like, the defensive backs were great most of the game. A couple of letdowns, but I'll give him full credit. You don't get a lot of pressure on Bo Levi Mitchell, and you're still not giving up 300 yards passing. That's a solid day.
So who's your player of the game?
I didn't see the game, so I will defer to you two.
As much as the shirt that I wore got a ton of work and I want to go with Brett Lawther, it's got to be Jordan Williams-Lambert, without a doubt. Key catches, a lot of yards, and a lot of tough catches. That was the key, and a lot of second down conversions. He's got to be the player of the game to me.
Zach Collaros, that's the most confident that he's thrown the ball this entire season. That's the best he's looked. It may not have been his best offensive output in terms of touchdowns. He had good games against Toronto and Montreal for that. But against a very tough opponent on the road, this was a fantastic game to keep those drives going the way that he did. This is the Zach Collaros we need for the final, hopefully, 3-4 games of the season.
And you know what? The best part about it is you could tell within the first half of the first quarter that he was on. Every throw was just on target. There was a couple of bad ones, but you're going to have a few misfires, but...
He was stepping into the throws, yep, which he hasn't really been doing a lot of this year. Moving the pocket, rolling outside and finding the open receiver and taking what the defense was giving, it was fantastic. Zach Lara was my player of the game. Grading the game, Greg, do you want to give a, even though you didn't see it?
I'm guessing you guys are around an A+ maybe? I don't know.
You beat the number one team in the league and you dominate them for four quarters. It's got to be an A+.
Cosine, A+.
One thing I didn't realize, the Riders have the best record against Western teams in the league.
Yep.
And I think that has gone under the radar. They're 6-3, and Calgary technically can catch them right now. They're 4-3, but they've got two games left to play against Western opponents.
Winnipeg and BC, and both those teams are looking good right now, too.
So, and that's why I said at the beginning of the year, those games against, you got to win those games in the East, and those games against Montreal and Ottawa are definitely could come to bite us in the ass.
Well, you look at it, if the Riders win against BC by more than 3 points, they'll have either an even or winning record against every team in the West. Look back last year when we had, what, 3 total wins against the West?
Had none in Chris Jones' first year as a coach.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's a huge improvement. We're beating the tough teams. And this is a team that's always come to play against the good teams and, you know, had they'll a little play to issue against the weaker teams.
Something about Calgary, they just match up so well against the Stamps. I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. But
first winning record since 2009.
Against
the Stamps, yep.
As much as everyone wants to say Winnipeg's our rival, and they are, the geographic rival, the rivalry is really us in Calgary at this point.
Ever since Burris left in 04, it's been the Stamps.
Yep.
Every single year since then.
I think it's because Calgary's been the number one team in the league every year since then.
Just about, yeah.
Pretty much,
yeah. So, again, Riders winning 29-24 in Calgary. 11-6, second place, which right now, can't complain about that. The opening kickoff brought to you by Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out our Facebook page, Kathy Festian, Royal LePage. Some other CFL talk I want to bring up. The Edmonton Eskimos, we haven't really talked about them a lot lately. Do you blow things up if you're there, if you don't make the playoffs?
You have to. I'm sorry, that is leadership on down.
It's not on the team, that's on the head coach.
Well, that's what I mean.
You blow up that coaching staff. The roster, as they sit, that is a good football team. But when you have issues at the top of the football chain with your head coach, and I'd go even higher, I'd go the president. I mean, a lot of this sits on Len Rhodes, in my opinion.
I don't know if I'd go that high. Why
I know Ed, I know Ed and Herbie would. Did you hear his comments today?
Yes, which I think are not on point. Ed Herbie calling out the Edmonton Eskimos, saying that, you know, we're in BC, we're focused on winning, not putting on concerts. And sure, I get what he's trying to say, but this is Ed Herbie as a GM saying this. Well, look at the exact position on the other side of GM. The GMs have nothing to do with these concerts. It's literally the very, very top of the organization in a marketing standpoint. That has nothing to do with on-field product. That has literally nothing to do. Unless the players are leaving from halftime to go watch Busta Rhymes.
I wonder if
and
they
Ludacris and who, I don't even know who else. They had Vanilla Ice last year.
Yeah.
But whoever else they're having. Monster. No, that was Hamilton. But unless the players are leaving for halftime to go see that. That has nothing to do with the Edmonton Eskimos football team. The team on field itself.
And to me, my thought is they messed with the locker room by opening it up and getting rid of it. I think Ed Herbie's a solid GM. I think he's going to do a great job in BC. And I think the mistake there was letting him go to appease the media and basically telling them that's, you know, what you want is going to be what goes. Doesn't matter what happens on the football field. What you want goes. And he basically said, that's where it is. Because I think right from then, there were issues.
No, I'd argue it's when Moss came to town. Brock Sutherland inherited Moss. And Moss has only gotten worse as it's gone down. At one point, Ed Hervey would let Moss not do the mic'd up games. And he would stand in front. He was Moss's shield. Sutherland's not doing that to Moss. And Moss is getting more agitated and a little more crazy on the sidelines as it goes, and it shows by how many penalties his team takes.
Well, how do you tell the team not to
act out
when their head coach is being a jackass?
And that's exactly it. They're playing undisciplined football, so that's like I think it's Moss on down. Like Moss, the coaching staff's got to go. But I have a feeling at the end of the day, Benavides is going to be the fall guy, and Moss sticks around another year.
And see, I would say it's the opposite. I think Jason Moss, if they don't make the playoffs in a Grey Cup year, I think Moss is out the door.
It's pretty crazy that they started out, what, there was talk about them catching Calgary for first place after they beat them in the Labor Day rematch.
They're 3-7 in the last 10, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, they've got the worst record in the CFL, or in the West, since Labor Day.
They've fallen completely off the map, and I regret buying my Grey Cup tickets before. I mean, I just bought the cheap, you know, $99 ones, but geez, I probably could have gotten midfield tickets for $99.
There's gonna be a fire sale. There's gonna be a fire sale here shortly.
So if you go to Grey Cup, it's not gonna be hard to get tickets. It never is, especially in a place like Edmonton. But with them not even making the playoffs, you're gonna find some really cheap tickets out there. So if you want something to do with Grey Cup, take the drive, go to Edmonton and catch a cheap football game and watch the Riders win the Grey Cup.
That's if they don't make the playoffs, because there's still an opportunity that Winnipeg doesn't make the playoffs, and I might enjoy that even more.
You know, I'm torn on this.
We need Winnipeg to win to get first place. As much as I don't like the idea of having two straight bye weeks for the Riders,
I don't want two straight bye weeks
and then a bye week in the playoffs, having the West final at home would be awesome.
I'm torn on who I want to miss. Part of me wants to see Edmonton go to the Grey Cup through the East, so they have to sit in their crappy visitor dressing room while whatever team, Calgary, Saskatchewan, BC, Winnipeg, whomever, gets out through the West. That would be amazing. Although Rhodes did come out and say he wants to see the rules on that, that he wants to see where in the guidelines it says the West team gets the Grey Cup or the home locker room in the West and all that, and he's going to offer to make a donation to whatever charity to buy back the locker room. If I'm the Western team that makes it, and Edmonton's coming through the East, it's not a thing you could offer me that I would give that out.
I would make that donation myself if I'm that West team. So
hell, we'll start the crowdfunding for the Riders if that happens. But yeah, no, like, of course Lynn Rhodes hasn't read the rule book, but anyway.
So
I know, Winnipeg right now is playing good football, so if they don't make the playoffs, that's better for us. That's the way I look at it.
And I guess that leads into my very next question that I had written down here. Who do you not want to make the playoffs?
I don't want the Bombers to make the playoffs. They're scary good right now. I'd rather play
their defense
anyone but them.
Yeah, their defense is complete. Adam Big Hill is playing at a most outstanding player level.
And it'd just be fun to say the most complete team didn't make the playoffs.
For a team that was, you know, the best team in the league not too long ago, see them missing the playoffs would be just lovely.
I'd agree with you guys. The team I least want to see in the playoffs, and they were my number one ranked team in the power rankings, and I got a little flack for it, but they are right now.
I'm pretty sure I gave it to you too. Yeah,
they are playing solid football.
Audible time. Can we just talk about power rankings for a minute?
They're dumb.
What? You know what? Great for discussion. Fun. Yeah. Cool. Right? Based off, and don't take offense to this, Steve, based off opinions of what? Who cares what, no offense, what you think about power rankings? Who cares what somebody else thinks? Belton Johnson put one out, and he put the Bombers at number one. He got ripped apart.
Yep.
Who cares what Belton Johnson thinks?
People
Who cares what Nissan power rankings do off a mathematical formula? The Riders dropped down to 7 last week. Who cares? Why do people get so worked up over power rankings? It means literally nothing. The only power rankings that matter are the standings.
I
get what power rankings are. I should have played the rant music. I get what power rankings are, and it's for teams that are playing good at the moment. It's not a cumulative thing. It's a most recent, you know, 2-3 weeks kind of thing and trends. But you can't tell me the Riders are better than Winnipeg right now at this moment. They're not.
We got shellacked 31-0. I had an argument with somebody today. They said, how do you have Winnipeg ranked number one? They might miss the playoffs. Well, just because their hot streak started perhaps a little too late doesn't mean they're not playing the best football out of any team right now. And that's what a power ranking is. That's who would win a game now, not who would win over the course of an entire season.
And this is why I've always said power rankings are useless, because they don't matter. They really do not matter. The only rankings that matter are the standings. Power rankings are opinion. There's no scientific fact behind them. I don't care if you got a mathematical formula that tells you that the Stampeders are going to win when the moon is in the fourth quadrant of Pisces. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Football happens on the field. And yes, the hottest team right now is the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and that's why I don't want to play them in the playoffs. But power rankings suck!
My favorite is when people say, how can Winnipeg be ahead of Saskatchewan? We won the season series. Hey, guess what? Montreal beat the Riders in the season series by a single point. You're going to put Montreal ahead? Don't bring up season series. That means nothing towards this.
If you want to look at season series, you look at standings. End of discussion.
Anyway, there's our little...
I like them because I like to think that my opinion matters, but I also know that to everybody else, my opinion means nothing.
But they're fun.
Absolutely.
And they're... That's what it's all about.
And I love the discussion.
Great, but people... I just don't understand how people get so upset about it. Have fun with it. Really, people take it so personally.
I understand, like, power rankings for the beginning of the season. Because then you're trying to figure out what teams are going to do, and then you adjust from there. Once you get to Labor Day, you are who you are.
You have a pretty good gauge on who the better teams are.
To paraphrase Dennis Green, they are who we thought they were. And you know who everyone is at this point.
That anniversary, Dennis Green, was actually just the other day.
I know. I know exactly where I was when that ran out.
2006, was it?
I was actually, and that was when the games were being played. I was in Edmonton in my Mustang, listening to the absolute meltdown of Dennis Green because it was on the local sports station. Because I was heading out to Fort McMurray the next day, but I remember exactly where I was during that round. They are who we thought they were.
All right, well, let's move things along here. This week for the Cypress Hills Destination Area Piffles Player Profile, we're going to play an interview that we did a little bit earlier in the season, and I wanted to bring it back because it's pretty relevant right now. Cameron Marshall, running back for the Riders. We talked to him when he rejoined the team early in the season, but this is his first real action back in, and he was a star in this last game against the Stampeders, and we think it's going to be a pretty important piece of this team going forward, especially in the blocking aspect of the game. So, figured we'd bring it back. Here's some of Cameron Marshall. I really want to know. Tell me who are you. So this week on the Coney Island Poutine Cafe Piffles Player Profile, Steve and Greg had a chance to talk with starting running back Cameron Marshall.
On this week's Coney Island Piffles Player Profile, we've got running back Cameron Marshall. Cameron, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me.
Now, right off the bat, you had your pick of teams when you came back to the CFL. Why Saskatchewan?
I thought it was the best opportunity first for me to come in and compete. For a job first. That was first and foremost. And second, I just really liked the culture that they had here. Coach Jones was coming off. I saw Coach Jones had some success in other places as well. So I was just really excited to get back up here, play in front of a great fan base as well.
How important is the run game to this offense? It seems the last couple of games with Hamilton, Toronto, they've gotten you more involved. Talk about that if you don't mind.
Yeah, I think the run game is important. I know it's a pass heavy league, but I think establishing something on the run to give the defense some other things to worry about is important.
Now, one of the things that kind of entertains our listeners is why people choose football. What was it for you that made you choose football as a career?
I just loved it ever since I was a kid. I played basketball. Basketball was my first sport, and my pops played basketball, and so it was my first sport. And as soon as I put a football in my hand, put these pads on, it was just something I love. I love being physical in basketball, but I always get called for fouls. So, as soon as I got to play football, and they said, you can hit people, I was like, oh, cool, I'm down.
Most fans know you as the running back of the Riders. Who is Cameron Marshall off the field? When you're not preparing for games, what do you like to do?
Well, first and foremost, I'm a husband, so I try to, I hang out with my wife a lot. Obviously, we spend time with newlyweds, so we like to do a lot of things together. But, I mean, other than that, if I'm not on the field and I'm not doing what she tells me to do, then I'm probably, you can probably catch me at the movie theater trying to find something new to watch.
So what's your number one movie right now?
Number one, I saw Girls Trip. My wife brought me to that one. That was pretty funny, though. What else did I see recently? I saw Wonder Woman was good. I saw Planet of the Apes was really good, too. So I want to get there this weekend and see Dark Tower. And something came out last week, too. And I want to see Detroit, too. I don't know if that's playing out here, but we'll see.
Fair enough. And does Cameron Marshall have any hidden talents that people might not know about him?
Hidden talents. I can juggle a little bit. Other than that, I don't really know. I'm sure some things might pop up later if I thought about it.
What's the strangest thing you've ever juggled?
Nothing strange. Nothing strange, nothing dangerous. I keep it pretty simple.
Back to football for a bit. Who's the hardest hitter in the CFL, in your opinion?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I've been hit hard a couple times, so it just kind of depends on the play.
Two-part question. One of the perks in the CFL is traveling.
Yeah.
What CFL city has the best food? And if you could travel anywhere in the world, where would you go and why?
Oh, let's see. Best food.
Okay, I said that.
I might have to say. Yeah. Okay. I said I had some good food in Montreal. Montreal was pretty good. Montreal and Toronto. I had some good food in Toronto last year when I went, or the other year when I went before. So I'd probably say those two places. BC has some good food too. I'm not a big sushi eater, so I know a lot of people brag about the sushi. I'm not big into sushi. Where would I travel? Probably someplace tropical so I could relax and relax, drink some pina coladas and enjoy myself.
Now the one question that everyone keeps asking, cats or dogs?
See, I'm a dog person, but you know, my wife has a cat, so I guess I have a cat, so that's how it goes.
As soon as you're married, you're a cat person
now,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Now, all the way.
Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
There was Cameron Marshall here on this week's Cypress Hills Destination Area Piffles Player Profile. Now, moving along here, we got to get to our final one, our final weekly winner in our fan contest. So, let's get her on the phone right now. This week's winner is Lisa Ponto of Regina, Saskatchewan. Lisa, thanks for taking our call.
Thank you.
Now, this is all about sharing your rider pride. So first off, how did you get into being a rider fan in the first place?
Probably my aunt. She, growing up, she was a little bit older than me, and she always had two season tickets, one for her and one for whoever wanted to go with. And it was usually one of me or my cousins or someone who wanted to go. And I was probably around 8 or 9, I'd say, and didn't know anything about football, just cheered when everybody else cheered and everything. So, and then just over the years, it just carried on, and now we're here.
Now, you said you had season tickets or kind of growing up, but do you have season tickets now? And if so, how long have you had them for?
We don't. We have 3 teenage daughters, so they take a lot of our money right now. Just kidding. No, we don't have season tickets, unfortunately. We're hoping to fairly soon, but we go to as many games as we can get to.
What is your favorite part of going to the Rider games, then?
Probably just the atmosphere, just the energy that you just feel. Win or lose, you can always feel it.
Now, a lot of people, obviously Grey Cups are probably the number one, but other than Grey Cup victories, what would you say is your favorite rider moment of all time?
It would have been tricky up till a few weeks ago, but probably our win over Calgary. We were lucky enough to get to go to that game, and the year before we had tickets for our first Labor Day game, which was exciting. But I have to say, our win over Calgary was probably tops that.
Anytime you watch Calgary lose live, it's always a good time.
Right.
Now, who's your favorite current rider?
Rob Begg.
How come?
Definitely. Just his perseverance, his ethic, like his work ethic to get back from injury, and to, you see him at practice, and he's always, you know, at the games too, he's always giving it his all, whether he's on the field or not.
So who's your all-time favorite rider then?
Oh, goodness. That's a tough one. Probably Rob Bag as of right now.
I was going to say, it's okay to say Rob Bag for this one as well.
And I know Amy's with me on that one too, so.
No, she doesn't like Rob Bag. She likes Rob Bag's biceps.
To be fair, he's got really nice arms.
Yeah.
And Lisa, final one for you here. When you hear the term rider pride, what comes to mind?
Oh, goodness. I think community. Just the community that, like I say, you feel the energy at the games. And we were in Calgary this summer for holidays, and it was game day for us and also for Calgary. And we saw maybe one Stamps hat, that's it. We saw probably about 15 jerseys and 5, you know, rider hats, rider jerseys everywhere. So to me, it was just kind of wherever you go, I think it's just always there.
Well, Lisa, thank you for sharing your rider pride with us, and congratulations on being this week's fan contest winner.
Well, thank you very much. You guys are awesome.
There was Lisa Ponto here on the Piffles Podcast sharing her rider pride with you. And again, thanks to everyone for getting us your submissions into the fan contest winner. Looking at them now, seeing just what rider pride means to people, that was my favorite part of this contest. And how different people got, like, differently people got into being fans of the team in the first place.
It was definitely mind-blowing. Like, we'd all get the emails, and I'm, like, flipping through them, and it was just difference of answers. And, yes, there was some crossover, obviously, because, let's face it, there's a lot more, they're more familiar with the 2007 riders than the 1966 riders that listen to us. But it's pretty cool to see the cross-section of Rider Nation that we do get to listen to.
I've always been entertained by the difference in that favorite rider possession. So you got, like, we've had signed jerseys, we have a football, we have the one person who had the first copy of, was it George Reed's book?
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, like, yep. Everybody's kind of got that one thing that they cherish, and there's not necessarily a similarity between all of them. And I always found that interesting to see what it was that people kept as their one key possession more than any others. Do you guys have a... We never really got over these questions.
You know, we never answered these questions and shared our own answers with these. I don't know. When I hear Rider Pride now, I kind of want to default to everybody that we've talked to about this and just how vastly different people see this team. But what's important to pretty much everybody is the community and how this team brings everybody together. It doesn't matter where you are or where you're from. It's just...
It's the family.
A thing. Yeah,
exactly. Rider Nation is family, and every family, there's the one loudmouth cousin you can't stand, but you still see him every once in a while. And
I was gonna say Greg.
Yeah,
I was gonna say me.
Yeah, pretty much. You're just going in a circle here. But at the end of the day, we all bleed green. We all love this team. They are part of Saskatchewan. They're part of who we are.
You know, we get mocked a lot on social media because we wear our green and white everywhere. You go traveling, you wear your green and white jersey. You go to a hockey game, people wear their jerseys. And to me, that is that sign of community, because I've had a situation where I was down in Florida sitting at a bus stop at Disney World wearing my Rider jersey, and guy comes up beside me. He's from Saskatoon. And we sat there waiting for the bus, having a 10-minute discussion about the Riders because we had something immediately in common. And you don't see that in a lot of fan bases, but to me, that's rider pride, is that family. It's the easiest way to describe it. It's a very dysfunctional family, but we all have the same goals in mind.
I always love when you travel somewhere, like, be it Mexico or Vegas, whatever, those little kiosks everywhere you see Yankees, Dallas Cowboys, the college team like the Sooners and the Riders.
Yep.
And, like, you know, like wrestling masks and ponchos and poker chips, and because that's how we travel. Yes, we'll buy every tchotchke with a Rider logo slapped on it, apparently, but
there's a reason why.
People know we're out there, and so be it. It's the only thing Saskatchewan's known for. I made the joke for you, Deb. Good luck. Have fun with that one. It's who we are, and it's part of us, and the Riders, I guess, as I'm drinking my Churchill beer right now.
And cheers to that.
So what we're going to do now, we have all these submissions, and we have our weekly winners. All of them have gotten their prizes and everything. We have our grand prize draw left to do. We're going to do that live next week. We're going to put everybody's name who entered in, not just the people that won a weekly prize. Their names are going back in the drum as well. But everybody who submitted the online form and told us about their rider pride, they are automatically entered in for this grand prize draw. So stay tuned. We're going to do that on Facebook Live, we're going to do that on Periscope on Twitter, so make sure you're paying attention to that next week. So if you entered in, thank you for that, and hopefully you're the lucky one. Okay, we got a couple other things to get to here on the Piffles Podcast this week. Time for this week's Tallgrass Apparel, Engaging with the Enemy, and this week is, it's an interview we did a little bit earlier, I've been saving it for a little while. Best receiver on the BC Lions this year, Brian Burnham. And we talked to him a little bit earlier in the year about his offseason and about, remember his catch from last year when it was up against Daron Carter for catch of the year? He's going to talk about that in this interview as well. So please enjoy this week's Tallgrass Apparel, Engaging with the Enemy, with BC Lions wide receiver Brian Burnham.
First question I have for you is, last year was deemed the year to catch in the CFL. Whose catch was better, yours or Daron Carter's?
I like to break it down as mine was more difficult. Falling down, getting pushed. His was a little more skillful. He actually meant to go up with one hand and catch it. I was just kind of falling down, like, oh, I don't know what to do. I got the ball. They're both great catches in their own right, but obviously I'll go with myself, you know. I can't bet against myself.
Do you ever, like, go back in the locker room after that, or, like, at halftime or after the game and just kind of brag about it to the rest of the team? Be like, yo, Manny, I know you got...
Not really.
Got the most yards, but I got that catch. We got that on you.
Not really. That's not kind of something I do, but, you know, if I ever do need to, if Manny, you know, comes at me any kind of way, then I might bring that out.
Now, obviously, last year was a bit of a tough year in BC.
Mm-hmm.
What are you guys going to do to turn it around going into 2018?
I think we really all just need to take a step back and rededicate ourselves to each other and to the team. And I think we thought things were going to come a little easier than they did last year. You know, we had this great receiver core with me, Manny, Chris Williams, Nick Moore, and we didn't really figure out how to use it. Lule got hurt, Jennings got hurt, quarterback carousel, trying to figure out who's going to play. And, you know, that's the way football is, though. You go into a season thinking it's going to be this way, and then something happens and it's the complete opposite. So this year I think we all just need to dedicate ourselves and buy into one goal, and, you know, it's just getting back to making the playoffs.
Is there any chatter around the team, this being Wally Blanco's last year as coach of the team, kind of heads up does having that one more kick at the can for Wally, is that kind of like a motivation for the team?
Absolutely. Can't say enough about Wally. I mean, he's a legend, and you know, I've been so lucky to be able to play for him these past few years, and you know, it'd be great to finish my career with him, but, you know, whatever's best for him. At this point in his career, he's done so much for the league. You know, he deserves nothing but the best, and if he wants to, you know, go retire on a beach somewhere, you know, he absolutely deserves that. But if he wants to stay in football, I hope he does. But, you know, whatever he decides to do, I'm going to be happy for him. And if this is his last year, then, you know, I absolutely want to do everything I can in my power to get him a Grey Cup and to get him another Grey Cup and to just make this season a memorable one. You know, we don't want last year to be, you know, his final memories of the BC Lions. So, you know, whatever we can do to kind of let him go out with a bang.
Now, at CFL Week, we saw the Hall of Fame induct Tom Hugo for playing. He played both sides of the ball as a 12-time All-Star over 7 years. If you weren't playing a receiver, what would you be on the defensive side?
Probably a free safety. I actually was recruited as a safety coming out of high school. And my first 3 years in university, I played safety and then got switched over to receiver. So that's probably what I would play, free safety. Be back there and get a bunch of interceptions and, yeah, still catching the ball.
So take us through an off-season day for you. You're not training, you're just kind of hanging out. What are the things that you keep you busy?
Well, a typical day for me, you know, is waking up and then I go work out. But right now it's just been whatever my fiance has on the checklist for the wedding. Wake up, okay, I have to call the place about the suits, make sure all the suits are in order, get the ties in order, transportation, hotel. So, you know, I've been doing a lot of stuff in terms of getting everything ready for the wedding. And that's pretty much been consuming all of our time recently. She's been working so hard, and I try to help her when I can.
So I tell you, after you get married, the honey-do list, they never stop.
Yeah.
I promise you that.
Now, if you could sit down with anybody, dead or alive, in history, who would you sit down with?
Man, that's a great question. It'd be hard to narrow it down to just one person. I would love to sit down and just have a chat with Barack Obama. That'd be awesome. I mean, I'm a big fan of him, and you know, the things he's done for communities in the United States. And I mean, I think you guys know America's missing him right now. The United States is missing Obama right now. But yeah, I think it would be awesome to have just sit down and just have a talk. You know, just pick his brain a little bit, and I think that'd be awesome.
If you could time travel and go back in time, you can go forward in time as well. Where would you go? Where's the first place you go?
First place I go. You guys are coming up with some great questions here. I think it'd be kind of interesting to go back to ancient Egypt. Sorry, Greece would be pretty cool too. But I think going back and seeing the pyramids as they were when they were first constructed, and kind of seeing that civilization thrive, I think that would be pretty awesome. I'm a big history guy, so you know, I would love to see that.
All right, final one for you here. Dogs or cats, and why?
Dogs. Dogs, no all hesitation. The way, no hesitation. I have a dog. Yeah. Well, the main reason not cats is because my fiance is allergic to cats, so that's a good reason. But you know, I love dogs. I've always been a big dog guy, and we love our dog right now, and it's awesome. We love having dogs. They're just so cats are fun, but dogs are better.
There was our chat with BC Lions wide receiver Brian Burnham here on the Tallgrass Apparel, engaging with the enemy. And so the BC Lions, playing them this week, the first place dream is still alive. Riders have to beat BC, doesn't matter by how much, they have to win. Need Calgary to lose their final two games, Friday night against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and then next week against these same BC Lions in what could end up being a fair... It's the final game of the regular season. It could be the most important game of the season that determines first, second, and third in the CFL West.
Yeah, BC's going
to... And fourth.
Yeah, BC... Like, the entire West is going to probably come down to that game.
Which is crazy. And that's... the CFL, they're smiling. They're loving that right now. They're hoping that Winnipeg goes and beats Calgary this week to keep that alive. Because it literally means every single standing in the West won't be determined until next week.
Are we saying the league is going to rig it in favor of the Bombers?
Although, you know what, no matter what happens...
Like they were doing for the Stamps to win this past game?
No matter what happens, the league's going to be happy going into the final week of the season. Because if, let's say, we or Calgary loses and we win, first is up for grabs. If Calgary wins, Winnipeg and Edmonton have that battle to close out the season too for that crossover spot, for that playoff spot. So no matter what happens, that final week of the season is going to be... a lot of fun, and kudos, you said it, to the CFL for putting these divisional games together, because this last 6 weeks is a ton of fun.
And it's a triple header on that Saturday, too, I think.
Which is funny, because you see at the beginning of the season, a lot of teams were giving flack. Oh, why are the Eskimos opening up against an East team? Why are the Stampeders opening? Because they save all the division games for the back half of the season, mm-hmm. So it comes to something like this. No one wants to watch Calgary and Montreal in the final week of the season. No one's going to care.
Yeah, they're still worth the same amount of points, and I will fight anybody on that. They're still just as important as those earlier games. You still got to win them, but there's just more pressure on this, and it comes down to it's still worth 2 points in the standings, but it's just way more important now.
At least you're head-to-head against the person you need to beat in order to at least pick your standing.
And like you said, nobody's going to want to watch Calgary-Montreal in a mean-nothing game, essentially.
I know I didn't care about the Toronto Montreal game.
I was kind of happy I had to work that day, that I got to miss pretty much all of that game.
That was the only football game I got to watch.
I got home in time for the final 5 minutes, and that was a pretty good 5 minutes. It was a typical CFL kind of ending. But
quick, would you have sat Johnny Football to throw in a Cole Pipkin to throw that Hail Mary?
No, they've already. As much as I think Pipkin should be the starter on that team, if you're going with Johnny Manziel, he got you there. You got to go with him. You have to put him in.
Pipkin wasn't even warming up, apparently. They just threw him in cold.
Yeah. No, unless you have a Michael Bishop who can throw it 80 yards with a flick of a wrist, no, you put Manziel in. And he had every right to be upset after that game and run off the field. Because if you're going to put the faith in him and then pull him on the most important play of the game, I'd be upset too. So I don't blame Johnny Manziel for that at all.
That just seemed weird. Like, he gets you there, and then you pull him last minute.
So this game against BC, two of the best teams in the league right now. Riders win. They clinch second place.
That's not the only way they clinch.
They could also clinch second place by a tie.
Mm-hmm. Running a safety if they were tied in the last minute from the 50-yard line.
Oh.
I sat there for far longer than I care to admit, thinking about the different ways that the Riders could finish the game losing on purpose. And we could probably queue up more rant music for this, but people, when somebody puts out an article, if you're going to comment on it, read it first. Because a lot of people question whether or not my article was saying that the Riders could go into the game on Saturday night saying, this game doesn't matter, let's just lose. No. There are certain situations that could come up in this game, assuming Calgary wins on Friday night, where the Riders could lose, could do something that would cause them to lose a win in the standings, but clinch second. And as much as I want to see the Riders clinch first, and I really, really do, there's a part of me that really wants to see one of these scenarios happen just for the entertainment that goes with it.
I think it'd be hilarious for BC to be up 5 points with 5 seconds left on the clock, Riders at the BC 15, Riders line up and kick a field goal to only lose by 2 points.
Yep. Yeah, run the clock down.
And have everybody mad because they're not paying enough attention to the tiebreak rules and wondering what's going on and booing the team. Meanwhile, there's going to be the core fans that actually realize what's going on in the heat of the moment, and we're going to be standing there cheering, yes, kick the field goal, right? Please.
Cue the Michael Caine, some men just want to watch the world burn, Mr. Wayne.
The one I really want to see happen, because it would just confuse the hell out of people. Yeah, the safety one, but I don't think that one happens. I just can't see a situation where they do that. Maybe. But the overtime scenario where BC scores a touchdown in overtime, gets the two-point convert, and the Riders come back, march the field, and score a touchdown. It is in their best interest to kneel down.
And not get the two-point convert.
Because no matter what happens at that point, they've clinched second. Imagine if they were to go for it, throw it, and it's intercepted, return for a touchdown. BC wins by 4. You get the two-point convert. The Riders get the ball back, kick a field goal. BC kicks or scores a touchdown to again.
But they don't get the convert on that one.
CFL rules is they quit the game at once.
But if they win by 3, that's enough. Because of the next tiebreakers, the points for against garbage, and for the Riders, for them to end up tied, BC would have to pull ahead in that.
I thought the next tiebreaker was wins in division.
No, it's wins in tied teams, points for and against. Hang on, I'll bring this up here. But I was doing the stuff today, and that was one of the ones that came up. Was
math is hard.
But it was just entertaining to me that you never see this. But there could be situations where it is statistically more smarter for the Riders to lose on purpose than to win. And I want to see all hell break loose. I love me a little chaos. I love a little anarchy. It makes social media way more entertaining, let's be real. But I want to watch the world burn.
So, this game against BC, is this a must-win game to clinch that home playoff game? Because they can still lose this game and still get second place if BC loses next week to Calgary. But that would also mean you're leaving a mean nothing game to Calgary, because they would have clinched first place in this scenario against a BC team who's literally playing to make the playoffs or to host second place.
I rather lock down second place. I really do not want to see the Riders on a 2-week bye.
So it's a must win? This is a must win game against BC?
I think so.
See, and I have no issues with the Riders clinching that first spot, the 2-week bye, as you put it. But absolutely, they need to win this Saturday. They need to show that they are a better team than BC going into the playoffs. Because as funny as those lose on purpose scenarios would be, the last thing you want to do is give your likely semi-final opponent a little extra confidence. Hey, we beat them at home last week, we can do it again.
I also want to see what team we actually have. Do we have the team that was in Winnipeg, or do we have the team that was in Calgary? Because I wanted to at least see them meet in the middle in Regina.
Well, I'd like to see them meet
in Edmonton, I'd
like to see them meet where whatever team that was in Calgary. I don't want to meet in the middle. I want that Calgary team every week for the rest of the season.
Well, let's do our final week picks with the Riders in them this regular season. Our week 20 CFL picks. We'll go around the horn here. Calgary at Winnipeg. I'm going Winnipeg.
Stadium fire. I want Winnipeg to win too, actually.
I want Winnipeg to win, and that's dirty. That feels gross. But it is against Calgary, so.
I want Calgary to lose more than I want Winnipeg.
But I think Calgary wins.
Hey, I'm back.
Hitting a dog.
Calgary.
Ottawa can clinch first place in the East against a Hamilton team that is now without their best player, Brandon Banks, who broke his clavicle and is out for the rest of the regular season. Hamilton needs to win this and get a little help in the final week of the year if they want to host the East Final. Ottawa at Hamilton.
Ottawa.
Ottawa.
Hamilton.
Hamilton's not the same without Brandon Banks.
Apparently they're reaching out to Chet Owens to see if he's healthy enough to come back. So that tells you how deep they're digging.
All right. Ottawa it is. BC at Saskatchewan.
Riders.
BC by 2 points.
Just for the chaos.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. I got the Riders. Amy?
Riders.
I'm kidding. I'm picking the Riders. I just want to see it.
And is anybody getting to even watch this game on the Sunday morning at 11 a.m. going up against the NFL? Two teams that aren't making the playoffs. Toronto at Montreal.
Whoever the Patriots are playing. Toronto.
Patriots play on Monday night against Buffalo.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm going to go Montreal. And I will watch it. They put on a solid show on Saturday night or Saturday afternoon.
Montreal?
I said it last week and I was wrong. Johnny Manziel was going to get his first win. He's going to get it this week. Montreal will win against Toronto.
That feeling when you trade away more first round picks than you get wins for the guy you got.
What a year for Kavis Reed. Oh, bless his heart.
I love him so much.
That's going to do it for us this week here on the Piffles Podcast. Thanks so much for giving us a listen. Your premier Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast. Give us a follow on Twitter at Piffles Pod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
You can find me at Safamod.
Follow me at Greg on Sports.
I'm at RealAmyD.
Give us a like on Facebook as well, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Check us out on Instagram as well. Search at Piffles Pod. And of course, go to the website, piffles podcast.com. Content going up there all the time. While you're online, make sure you go to riderfans.com. One more why not to decide whether you're going to win the title or not, right? Man, or is there still playoffs involved?
They do it through the playoffs as long as the Riders are playing.
Okay.
So. I feel bad. I predicted, I did the questions last week, and one of my questions was, will Zach Caleros break 200 yards passing? And he had it at halftime. I actually wasn't sure. I don't like to go back and look because I'm not playing this year because I'm, the quiz master on occasion, and I imagine a lot of people probably said no.
But anyway, go to riderfans.com. Lots of great stuff there, talking CFL and Rider stuff all day long. Piffles Podcast is brought to you by our great friends at Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Special thanks as well go to Kathy Feston of Royal Page Regina Realty, Tallgrass Apparel, Churchill Brewing Company, and Cypress Hills Destination Area for their support to make the show possible. Time for some Beauty Kill the Beast, one of our featured artists of 2018. This is their song, Hometown. It's burning like a flame. You can tear it all down.